listening to and what are the stories you want to tell them.
Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am joined by the delightful Rachel Extance. Rachel is a former journalist and marketing consultant, and she uses all of that journalism skill and experience to help businesses tell their stories, and we explore exactly how you can tell yours. Let's dive straight in. Welcome to this episode of the Marketing Development Podcast. My name is Pete Everett, and today I am joined by the lovely Rachel Extance. Rachel, how are you today?
I'm doing very well, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. I even managed to hear you that time as well, which is even better. So, Rachel and I have connected online, and you run a marketing company. And before I murder an introduction, how about you tell the lovely boys and girls at home what it is you do?
Okay, so I am a former journalist, and when I sort of went out in the world and started marketing myself and networking, the thing that really struck me was that people didn't know how to tell stories. They didn't know how to tell stories about what they did and who they helped and how those stories could connect with their customers. So I help people take a journalist perspective to their work and tell their stories so they can reach a wider audience for their work and ideas.
It's great when people come on the show and they have a nice concise thing about what they do, because you've obviously thought about exactly who it is you're trying to help and what your service level is. So I know we talk a lot about telling stories through business, and I think part of the problem we have with marketing is that people want to say everything straight away rather than have that narrative. So, you know, where do you start by telling a story with your business?
Well, there are two things about that. You've got your own story. So the story of how you got started, what was that spark that led you onto a path of running your own business? You've got the stories about your services and how they help people, but you've also got your customer stories, and your customer stories are the most important ones, really, because if what you're saying doesn't tie in with their story, what the stories that they're telling themselves about where they are and where they want to be going, the stories that they're seeing around them, then your story isn't going to fit with theirs. So it's really important when you're telling a story to think about who you're telling a story to and how those two things interconnect.
Okay, so this is really sort of starts boiling down to starting with your target audience, your buyer personas, whatever word you want to use to name them. So is one of the things you do with businesses is actually to go and explore who their target audiences are, or do you expect businesses already to sort of have that nailed?
I always start by asking whether or not they know who their audience is, and if I think that their idea of who their audience is isn't quite, you know, fixed enough, if they're sort of trying to be all things to all people, or they're not quite sure who they're talking to, then we'll try and work on that. Because you know, you can have your ideal client in mind, and just because you're focusing on Sue, she's 45, she's got two kids and works from home, doesn't mean to say that what you're saying to them won't resonate with Bob, who's 56, and all of these things.
Yeah.
But if you have one person in mind that you're thinking about, and you can picture what their problems are, you can picture, you know, what their viewpoint is on something, then you're going to find it a lot easier to tell them a story.
Yes, absolutely. That makes perfect sense. So when you're then thinking about breaking your marketing down into a story, sort of, where do you start with that? What's the sort of process you'd sort of go through in order to figure out, right, so the story of our company is we produce this product and it solves that problem. How do we now turn that into a story?
You think about where people are and what, as I said, there are different ways of doing it. So you could start with your own origin story. So there will have been a moment in your life when you were grappling with a problem, or a problem came and took you by surprise. You might have been made redundant, for instance. And you're sitting there, you know, you've got bills to pay, the world seems like it's crashing down on you, and you think, yikes, what am I going to do? And then you realise that actually, no, you've got all of these different ways that you can help people. or perhaps your, you know, knowing what your why is, why you do what you do. That's a really powerful story, because there could be any number of, say, builders out there, and how on earth do you pick the builder that you're going to employ? Well, you're going to focus on the stories that they're telling you, the stories that people that have used them before were telling you. So, you know, James came along and he was really brilliant. You know, he listened to everything that we wanted to know, and when we asked him to do this extra thing, he did it. So there are all of these different stories that, that people bring into to your relationship. So often it isn't one story that gets people interested, it's several stories. But when you're thinking about your very first story, really that, that why, that catalyst moment, I'd say is the best place to start, because that's what people are, you know, once they've got past, hello, who are you and what do you do? Well, saying what you do doesn't often let people in very much. When you give them a story about it, they're going to have much more of an idea of who you are, what you're doing, how that ties in with their life. And also, you know, have something more that they can have more of a conversation with you about.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And some people process information in different ways. Well, we all process information in slightly different ways, don't we? So, and some people are far more sort of literal type learners, and actually being able to see something or see something in practice rather than actually just the facts about what it is can make a big difference in the way some people interact with it. So how do you, you know, when you start working with a company and you start talking about their story, do you actually start by working on one particular story, or is this kind of lots of little different stories that may be to do with, I don't know, product case studies or, sorry, client case studies or product use cases or those kind of things? Do you have sort of lots of little narratives that weave together that maybe all have a similar theme but are about different things, or do you go for the kind of big on sort of, right, this is who we are, the customers are coming with us on a journey for the next, you know, 5 years as we develop our business. Where do you sort of position that?
It often depends on where they are. So if you are starting out, then we're obviously looking at, you know, what are you putting on your website, what are you saying to people when you meet them, what are you putting in your social media bios. So those sort of initial first impressions, shall we say. Whereas for people who have been in business for a little while, and maybe they've dabbled in content marketing, but something's happened, maybe they tried it and they found they didn't have time, or they tried it but they didn't know what to say, or they didn't have confidence in what to say, then we'll sit down and we'll work out, like, who are you talking to and what are the stories you want to tell them? How, you know, very often there are lots of different aspects that you can unpack for different people on the buyer journey about, you know, how your product helps them, about what their pain points are. And, you know, when you talk about stories, people often think about fairy tales and made up stuff. And stories, you know, we understand our entire world through stories, how we define ourselves as a story, you know, why you say, you know, how you came to do the job that you do, or what you say about where you came from, all of the, you know, the football team that you support, all of these things have stories around them. So it's thinking about how these stories tie in with what you do, the people that you're looking to work with, and what's going to resonate with them, and how to create that emotional connection. Because if it's not pulling on them, if they're not, you know, they can listen to it and go, oh yeah, well that's lovely, but yeah, I don't really care about that. You need to make that connection. You need to say the thing that's going to go, oh yeah, I'm an Aston Villa supporter too, and I love that, you know, you wanted to do this thing so you could go to the match every Saturday, or whatever it is. It's not always necessarily about, you know, the nuts and bolts of what you're doing. You're telling stories about what you're doing, but you're also telling stories around what you're doing as well, so that people can get to know you a bit better.
And how do you then work with your clients in terms of the kind of practical delivery of that? Because there's so many strands of marketing. There's so many different ways that you know, we can deliver content, be that social media, email, actual content on your website, blogs, podcasts like this one, for example. Mm-hmm. So how do you go, do you start forming this into a sort of bigger strategy, or is it a little bit more scattergun approach, or do you start with scattergun and see what works and what doesn't so much and then refine? How does that kind of process work?
We would start off with a strategy, because I know it's boring to have a strategy. People are like, do we have to do this? Yes. Yes, you do, because there's no point in being scattergun about things, because you've got no idea, you know, if people that kind of do this sort of spray and pray approach to things, you've got no idea what's going to hit the mark and what isn't. And this is why I start with the audience first, because if you don't know who you're talking to, you're not going to say the right things. So I do start with a strategy, work out where they are, what they're trying to do, and then plan out. So I'm a writer. I've always worked in written content. Mm-hmm. Speaking isn't my favourite medium, I have to say. Just a little bit odd when you're on a podcast, but it's taken me quite a while to kind of get used to being able to talk to people about things rather than say, can I just write that down for you? Firstly, what I do is very much copywriting. And so I do website words and I do blog writing. But I also talk to people, you know, when they come to me and say, well, I'd like to do this, that and the other. And I'll say, well, OK, I'm not going to be able to help you with creating an amazing Instagram feed, because that's not how my mind thinks. But these are the stories that you could be telling on your Instagram feed. These are the sorts of things that I think would work for your audience. And if you want some help with creating the images, then go and talk to somebody else who will be able to do that. But you know, I know what my sphere of expertise is, and I'm a big believer in do what you know and point people in a different direction if somebody comes along and asks you for something that you don't. So for me, very much it is talking to people about what their stories are, how to share those stories, what I think is going to work well where. You know, is it short form content? Is it long form content? People can, you know, there's all of these things about how long should things be and pillar content, which all of which has its place. But it also comes down a little bit to the individual's point of view as well. Some people, you'll say to them, right, and so I'm going to write you 800 words on that. And they'll look at me agog and say, 800 words is a lot. And you sit there thinking, well, it's not really, but yeah, okay. If you prefer something that's a lot shorter, then we can do things a lot shorter. So it's a conversation, it's a collaboration between you and the client and what they want to do, and helping them get to where they want to be.
You know, we have similar conversations with our clients in the agency as well. So we run digital marketing retainers for people, and some of those things include writing content for, particularly with SEO in mind. Mm-hmm. So we have tools where we can, you know, we can take one of the keywords you're trying to rank for, so I don't know, hotel reviews, for example, and we can then scan that keyword, analyze the top 10 results, and say, right, so for that keyword we need a piece of content that is on average at least 1900 words long. And it needs to include these related keywords, and we need to use these in the headings and that. And all of a sudden you can see the colour drain from people's faces when they think 1900 words and that's all they focus on. But you're right, you know, by the time you split it down into two or three sections, and then you have an intro and a conclusion, some headings, and, you know, maybe a couple of bullet point lists in there and all that, all of a sudden you can very quickly rattle through 1,000 words without even really thinking about it all that much. But I do suppose it's all relative to what you're used to.
It is, and also in a world in which people have very short attention spans, I find it very interesting at the moment, because you get people who say, oh, you know, we just scroll through things, we don't have time to look at that. And then you have people who are perfectly willing to sit on the train or the bus or wherever and read through long form content, or listen to a podcast or an audiobook. So in part it's catering to people's attention spans as well. You can take a story, and just because you've told a story one way, you know, you've written a blog post about it or you've recorded a video, doesn't mean to say that's the only way you can tell that story. You can then break that story down into a series of tweets, or you can use it on your Instagram stories, or you can create videos from it. There are all sorts of different ways of repurposing your story once you've got it nailed down and you think, right, yes, this works, I like it, it's clear. Oh yeah, then you've got that opportunity to do different things with it.
Yeah, absolutely. When our copywriters are writing content for people, they'll often write kind of a handful of tweets and a Facebook post and maybe a LinkedIn post or whatever the audiences are that have been, or the social media platforms that are targeted for that client. And they'll do it when they write the piece of content. So whilst they've got everything in their head, it's, you know, it's the case of, you know, writing the social media stuff can maybe take them 15 minutes if they do it when they actually write the article, versus maybe an hour when if you leave it 2 weeks and then they've forgotten what the article was about. Yeah. They've got to read it, they've then got to start thinking creatively about it, etc. And all of a sudden, you know, you can save so much time just by doing the social media stuff as you write the thing, because it's fresh and it's in your head.
Yeah, absolutely. It is one of those things where, you know, while you've got that argument and you've said, right, this is my second point, this is my third point, and then I've got this thing here and this is really quotable, that's the time to pull those things out and go, right, yes, okay, I can use that in a different place.
Yeah, it's too right. You know, I've had to take a piece of my own advice with this as well. So I often batch the podcast episodes that we record. So as I mentioned, when we were sort of having our pre-talk, I recorded one this morning, and I've had to make myself record the intro and outro when I record the episode, because otherwise I have to spend 45 minutes listening to the episode again in order to do the intro and outro. And that's, as much as I like the sound of my own voice, it's not, you know, it's not necessarily what I planned on doing most days. So,
and it's not a good use of your time, you know, if you're having to spend that extra few hours doing these things instead of just doing it when you're there. Yeah, there's a whole load of other tasks that you want to be doing.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if we can just sort of pivot this a little bit. So I know we've connected because we've both been to a number of the same events, but we've never actually met in person, or not that I know of. Anyway, we've probably bumped into each other while we were, you know, trying to fight. In a bar, or trying to fight for the coffee jug at 8 o'clock in the morning in somewhere. But you, we've both been to the Upreneur Summit last year. Did you go to the first one or not?
No, I didn't. Last year was my first time there.
Ah, you see, it was my first time as well. Oh, if only we'd known. And then you were also at Atomicon, which must have been your first time because it was the first one as well.
Absolutely.
So do you go to a lot of these events, or how, is this kind of a relatively new thing you've started doing, and what have you got out of starting to attend events like this?
It is a relatively new thing. So I'm quite lucky. I'm based in Cambridge, and Cambridge has a very busy business networking schedule. There are things happening. You can go to a different event pretty much every night of the week in Cambridge, and lots of things on meetups. So I started off by sort of going to meetups, and that kind of eased me into the terror of walking into a room where I don't know anybody, going, oh my goodness, I have to talk to people, which I just, oh.
Please tell me you didn't do that whole sort of Love Actually thing where you had it all written down on cards, because that, on one hand, that would have been brilliant, but on another hand, that would have been a bit weird.
The first time I went to something, I remember walking up the stairs and opening the door and looking at the room full of people talking, and I had to really stop myself from just turning around and walking straight back out again.
Yeah, they can be a bit overwhelming, and I don't know. I kind of have a sort of critical mass where, you know, I'm perfectly happy walking into a room, particularly if it's a meeting sort of setup. So anything sort of up to 12, 15 people, I don't get phased. I can just go in there and be me, and I feel comfortable. Once you start getting noticeably over that number to let's say, I don't know, 20 to maybe 50 or 60, then I start getting nervous. And then when you start getting them to bigger than that, so like when we went to Upreneur and there was like 350 people in a room, then all of a sudden there's so many people, you kind of become anonymous again. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I kind of have a window where I'm a little petrified, which is kind of medium size to sort of small, big size, if you know what I mean. Mm. And then it kind of wanes off the other end because there's so many people, you just kind of mix in.
But one of the things that Youpreneur did, which I think is quite good for that, is that they put you on round tables. So yes, that almost brings, you're at a big event, but it brings that down. And it's a lot easier, I think, to have a conversation with the people either side of you or the person across the table from you in that situation than it is when you're just in a big thing and you're like, I don't know where to start with this. I don't know who to go up to. But to go back to your original question, having got over that fear, I now do try to attend events. I can't do them very much because I'm a parent, I have two young children. So, you know, going away for a weekend is quite a big deal. Yeah. And, and events, you know, I often see people going, oh yeah, there's this one day thing down in London. And I think, well, yes, I know it's only 45 minutes away, but I have to be back for the school run at 3:15. So, yeah, you know, it's figuring out what's practical for me as well. But having started going to events, you get so much out of them, in terms of not just the speakers on the stage, but the people that you meet when you're there. And if you're committed to go to an event with other people who are interested in the same thing as you, you get to have these really interesting conversations. Mm. And you can, you know, almost leapfrog where your understanding of something is by going to events like this.
And for me, there's always two parts of events, and the bigger events. So we are talking the Youpreneurs and the things like Atomicon. I love going to them. However, particularly like the 2-day conference, like Youpreneur Summit, by the end of the second day, my head is fried. So I love going to them, but I know it's going to sort of be a mental drain for the 2 days. But then that's only half of the reason, sort of getting the stuff off the stage. The other part is actually that some of the connections that you make and the people that you meet, and they maybe don't actually sort of kick in for sort of 2 or 3 weeks after the event, but it kind of helps cement what it was that you learnt, but also kind of helps you with the applications that you've decided that you're going to make to your business. It kind of keeps you accountable to those as well. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. If you've got somebody who says, yeah, like, so I met you the other day at this thing, and you said you were going to go and do X, Y, and Z. So how are you getting on with that then? Because you've had a conversation with somebody who's maybe only met you that day, and what they know about you is who you are, what you do, and that you really loved that session that so-and-so did. And that at the end of it, you went, yeah, brilliant, I'm going to go away and I'm going to do X. Yeah. And then that's all that person knows about you. So the next time you're talking to them on social media or you meet them at the next event, they're going to say, so how did you get on with that? And you're like, oh yeah, I was supposed to be doing that thing that I said that I would definitely do. So it does keep you honest a bit.
It definitely keeps you kind of accountable to what you say. And I've got to say, the other thing that does work really well is when I know Atomicon was just a single day event, but when you do go to a multi-day event, by the morning of the second day, you have started to meet enough people that you recognize faces. Yes. And you start to feel a hell of a lot more settled and relaxed in the environment.
Yes, definitely.
And you know, and then there's the social thing, you know, like we said, we probably bumped into each other in a bar. It makes us sound a lot like alcoholics, but that's a different podcast, Rachel, you know. Let's keep it on track. But no, there is the social aspect about it. And, you know, I'm the same. I've got two boys who are both under 10. And, you know, daddy going away for a weekend isn't ideal. I you know, don't relish that thought. But on the same note, you've got to sometimes think, right, well, why am I doing this? I'm doing this so that I can build a better business, so that I can have a better quality of life with my family. And that's going to take a bit of investment from me up front in order to get a better return at the other end. So you've sort of got to balance it all out at the end of the day, in my head anyway.
Yeah, I think that's true. And you work out what fits with your values and what doesn't. And also, you know, times change for you, you know, where you are in your business at the moment is different to where you're going to be in your business a year from now, 18 months from now. So, you know, somebody listening to this might be going, gosh, you know, 2 days to go for a conference, and I'd need to have an overnight, the night before because it's going to start at 8:30 in the morning and I can't possibly do that. You might not be able to do that right now, but you will be able to do that at some point. And if you can't get along to things, one of the brilliant things nowadays is that you can follow the hashtag on Twitter or Instagram, and people are posting stuff all the time. I've, you know, kind of been to social media marketing world and social day last week simply because I know a whole load of people who were there, and I had serious FOMO just looking at their social media feeds, and I got to know, you know, who said the brilliant thing about this, whose book do I want to get, oh yes, yeah, that's somebody I should be following now, they've got a really good thing, message that I want to hear.
And so you managed
there are
to
all
do
these different
all...
things you can do,
and you managed to do all of that without the jet lag as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Although you maybe had some nappies to change and tea to cook, so it, you know, you've got to take the rough with the smooth.
Absolutely, and yeah, isn't you do obviously you're missing out on the mark on the networking when you're there, and yes, that is a big part of these events. Is it's that opportunity to cement conversations that you're having with people online and turn those into real face to face conversations. So you know, it's not a perfect situation, but if what you're interested in is learning about what's happening is a really good way of doing that.
Yeah, absolutely. It's and you know, for me, the networking that happens in those events I find better than the sort of, I've been to local networking stuff in Sheffield where I'm based, and you know, I've really tried to give it a good crack. I'm not talking about sort of going for 2 or 3 weeks and then saying no, it's not for me. I'm talking about like going to it for 8 or 9 months regularly. Mm-hmm. But you end up meeting the same people in the same room. Mm-hmm. And I know the whole point of it is supposed to be that, you know, you become the, I don't know, the web designer or the bathroom fitter or the whatever it is that you are, you become the recommended person by the other people in the room. I understand how the concept works, but I don't know, maybe I'm either not that appealing or the group I was in was a bit of a dud, but it just never seemed to work. You know, I just seemed to be talking to the same people about the same things, and it still cost me 12 quid for breakfast. So for me, the networking that you get at these larger profile events, I'd rather go to two of those a year, which would cost about the same as a 12 quid breakfast every week for a year, than actually pay 12 quid for the breakfast and talk to the same people over again. I don't know. That's just my take on it, but yeah,
I think it's finding the thing that works for you. You know, I've never been to, I know there are these sort of ones where it's almost what's the right word, almost gated. So there are these ones where you can only go if you're kind of on the list of kinds of types of industries that they haven't got or whatever. But then I'm a lifelong learner. I'm just always learning, and so I tend to pick events based on what am I going to go that I'm going to learn from, particularly because I'm very introverted and I do find the networking side of it difficult. I'll say to myself, I'm going to go to this event, I'm going to learn about X, Y, and Z. And then I come away from the evening going, yeah, that was really brilliant. I had 3 great conversations with these different people. So I kind of go in with one thing in mind and then come away with the added benefit of having had those chats. So
yeah. So how would you say, and this is maybe a slightly big question for 28 minutes in, but how would you say sort of attending these bigger type events has transformed your business? Or how has it made you think differently about how you do what you do?
Oh, massively. Absolutely massively. It really, when you're, so I had no business experience whatsoever. I got made redundant when I was on maternity leave.
Wow.
And I just signed up for Digital Mums, which, if you don't know, is an organisation which trains women to become social media managers. And literally the course started on the Monday, and a couple of days later I got this phone call going, can you come into the office, please? I said, well, okay then. And that gave me the confidence to say, okay, let's give this self-employment thing a go. So I started out doing social media, and then I got myself a business coach because I was floundering, quite frankly. I just didn't have a clue what I was doing. I didn't know how to sell. I didn't know how on earth you went about running a business properly. And my coach looked at me and said, why don't you write? And I said, people won't pay for writing. Nobody's going to do that. And I said, I think you'll find that people will be interested in you writing. And I thought, well, okay, let's try it. So I pivoted. And that was one of the first big lessons, was learning it's okay to pivot. It's okay to have gone around to every single networking event. I said, hey, I'm Rachel and I'm a social media manager. And then the next month, turn up and go, hey, I'm Rachel and what I do is. And as I say, it was that combination of switching to that and realizing that what people really struggled with the stories. But then when I started going to, I think my first big conference was Marketed Live with Paul Ince. That was just sitting there and talking to people and seeing people up on stages and going, oh, wow, there's a whole world of different things. And then I went to Youpreneur, which, as you know, there are people standing up making affirmations about how much money they're going to earn and talking about different things that I hadn't even considered. And it makes you think, oh, right, okay, this is not me sitting in my living room typing at a computer. This is me thinking, okay, I have a business now. What do I need to do to make the business work? How far ahead do I need to be thinking? It's not, yay, somebody just paid me X amount, I can pay the mortgage this month. It's no, you need to think, have you got business lined up, months in advance, so that you know that it's going to go okay, that you're not going to run out of money, that you've gone to that event. I want to go to that event again next year because I really enjoyed it. How do I get to do that then? Okay, there's a membership as well, right? I want to continue the relationships with the people that I've met. How do I join that membership? How do I afford to do that? And also getting that brilliant thing where you've got a whole load of people around you who say, oh yes, we've done that, we've made those mistakes already, don't do it like this, what you need to do is that. So really simple messages, like keep it simple. You do not need to have five, six, seven different things going on. Focus on one thing, get that going really well, then work out where the next thing is. And you do these things to not get sidetracked. And yes, you've heard a whole load of great things here, but what actually works for your business? So it is brilliant to be talking to other business owners about what they're doing and also getting the genius things you're learning from the stage and bringing all of that together and being able to kind of put it together for yourself a day or two later and go, right, what I got out of that was this. In the next 3 months, I need to do this. And then the next 6 months, I want to do that. And then we check in again and we see where we are. And it's, yeah, massively helped me.
That's one of the biggest things I've taken away from going to more and more of these events is that I need to make sure that the following week I have at least half a day in the diary where I can just start to process some of the stuff that's gone through my head over that weekend. And I've been to events, I've spent a lot of money in some cases going to some events, and then you get so busy because you're away from the office for a couple of days, and you need to catch up with email and client work and this, that, and the other, that all of a sudden, like 2 weeks goes past, and you think, oh, I've forgotten half of what that was about. But actually, clearing half a day, a couple of days after it, in the diary, and then actually going back to your notes and revisiting it, it really starts to cement some of the ideas in your mind, but then allows you to put like an action plan together to say, right, so what I've invested time and money in this thing, how is that going to better me, and how's that going to better my business? And you don't have to make some of them will inspire big change, and that's absolutely fine. But a lot of the time, it's just about making some small changes here or there that actually add up to a significant change when you put them all together.
Absolutely. And one of the big things for me is changing that narrative about I don't have time for this. I don't have time to do these things that, yes, it's all very well that you say that you have a podcast and you manage to do that, but I don't have time for that in my life. Well, is that really true? Is there something which would definitely work for my audience, whether it's blogging every week or having a YouTube channel or simply just saying, yeah, I'm on Instagram, I'm going to spend half an hour a day on there, whatever it is. You do have that time. It's just figuring out how you're going, what you're going to drop in order to do it. And we often have these preconceived ideas about I can't charge that much or people won't want this. Well, unless you go to these events, and this is another great thing about it, it's an opportunity to test out ideas. You've met this person, you've never met them before, you might not meet them again. Why not say to them, so would you be interested in a service where I do X, and see whether they like it or not.
Absolutely.
It's a really good way of sort of testing things out.
Absolutely. So to bring this then back full circle, if you then looked at how your business and how your audience can tell stories, then of course your a lot of these applications where it comes to the marketing side of your business, you're then thinking about, right, so how can I tell my story in that way, or how can that help the way that this particular strand of my story reaches those people?
Yes.
Yeah.
And also you can spot ways that you hadn't thought of doing it. So I saw Ian Anderson Gray on Instagram the other day had shared a blog that he'd written, and he'd screenshotted it. And I thought, that's genius, because one of my problems, I love Instagram. I'm very happy to spend time scrolling through Instagram. But a lot of my work is me at a laptop or in my head. And how do you visually get that across? And I thought that was just such a brilliant way of showing people that you've got something, you can talk to them a little bit about it. And so it's just, you can learn all the time from what other people are doing and see different ways of sharing your story and what you're doing, so that not everybody wants to read a blog post. Some people want to watch a video, or they want the audio in their head. And so it is looking at different ways of catering for different audiences.
Absolutely, absolutely. Brilliant. Rachel, thank you so much for your time. If people want to connect with you online, where's the best place that they can find you?
So I'm Rachel Extance on pretty much every social media platform there is, but mainly you'll find me on Twitter and Instagram. And then my website is thestorycave.com.
storycave.com. All of those links will be in the show notes. Listen to the intro and outro, and it'll tell you exactly what the show notes link is. Thank you for your time, Rachel. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
It's been great talking to you too.
Thanks again for being on the show, Rachel. You were absolutely brilliant. And for those of you who didn't know, that was Rachel's very first podcast, and I think she did exceptionally well. Show notes for this episode can be found at peteeverett.com/056. And we'd love to see you in the Facebook group at peteeverett.com/group and explore more about how you are telling your story. What is your story? What are the key points you're trying to achieve? And how effective is that coming through in your marketing? We'll see you in the group, or we'll see you next week.